This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Ready. Get up. Hey. Let's get it on.
The Wendy's Big Show.
Come on, showtime, baby.
Where's the ball?
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. How are you doing on a Wednesday? Am I right? Wednesday? All day yesterday, I thought it was Monday. And today, I think it's Tuesday. So I'm just one full day behind each and every day. So, yeah, welcome in on a Wednesday, live from the Lakeland University studios. Lakeland University now offering co-op credit for work experience. Learn your way at lakeland.edu. Coming up on the show today, Tim Allen, Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball post-game show will be on the show. In 1/2 hour, talk some Brewers Reds baseball. Freddy Peralta looking pretty good last night. Urias came up big twice for the Brewers last night. Josh Hader closes it down. So big night for Josh Hader. Devin Williams, oh, not so good. But, I mean, in fairness, he hasn't been pitching a ton lately either. So there's that, too. So Tim Allen, about 1/2 hour. Tom Silverstein, Spoon, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Packers beat writer. Because of all this Bucks stuff going on, we kindly have not had any time to fit in any type of Packers rookie camp talk. And now it's already the middle of the week, but we have to get to it at some point. We can't just ignore that it happened. So we're going to get to that coming up in the second hour of the show, about 90 minutes from right now. Tom Silverstein will join us. Also, in the third hour, got to talk about the Packer-Cowboys game that's scheduled, obviously, coming up. Also, Gary and I have been going back and forth for a couple of weeks about this whole Badgers and NIL deal. And we've been trying to get it on the rundown, and it hasn't fit. And today I just jammed it in there and said, no, we're doing it today. I'm sick of having it there and not being able to get to it. So today we'll get to that as well. Obviously, plenty of Bucks talk throughout the show as well. And that's where we're going to start, is with the Milwaukee Bucks today as they get ready to take on the Boston Celtics tonight. And a nice and simple question, just like we'll probably do on Friday. I'm just telling you right now, Friday, this will probably be the same question at this time on Friday when they play their next game. And that is, what are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Nice and simple, not rocket science. Every sports talk show is probably going to do the same topic. And I'm fine with us doing it as well, because it gives us a chance to talk about the game, talk about what we think they need to do tonight, and gives those of you a chance to listen to the Big Show across the state of Wisconsin to jump aboard as well. And kind of talk with all of us about the game, too. So what are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. I guess I'll start first with my first key to the game. And I think you got to have a couple of keys here. I don't think it's just going to be one thing ends all. For me, I guess my very first thing is simply Drew Holiday has to play better. Like, I just I think that's where this all starts and ends. Like, if he does not do better on the offensive side of the floor, they're going to have a hard time probably tonight. I mean, he's got to score the basketball better. He's got to be able to get going outside a little bit with that three-point shot. He's got to finish better when he gets that opportunity going to the rim. He hasn't been finishing well. Giannis hasn't been finishing well. Those shots within, you know, 3 to 5 feet of the basket, you got to hit those shots more than you miss them. And at this point, it's not even 50-50, it feels like, with Giannis and Jrue Holiday at the rim. So that has to occur. Like, he has to give them more consistency on the offensive end of the floor. And I will also say that Giannis has to be more efficient. He's had one efficient game this entire series so far. One. That's it. That's all. He was right back to what he was in games one and two in game four. He also has to play more like game three and be more efficient. Because if they're both going to shoot like 30% from the field, they don't have enough around them to make up for that. They just don't have enough guys. If Middleton was playing, oh, okay. Well, you have an all-star that can pick up the slack and go. And then, you know, it wouldn't be as much pressure on those two. But if they're going to be the only two guys out there essentially taking shots, and that's pretty much what it's been the first four games, them taking 25 to 30 shots a game or whatever it is, then they have to be better at what they're doing. So for me, that's the very first thing is, for me, is Jrue Holiday. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? We could have the same keys as well. If you think Jrue Holiday is one of your keys, that's fine. And Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Tweet us at Big Show Network. Michael and Brown Deer, you're first up here on the Wendy's Big Show. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, Gary, you from down south, right?
Gary is not here currently.
He's not? All right, okay. No. Well, I'm just going to say this, though, because growing up in the south, we had a thing to where that if somebody comes onto the playground and they start a fight with you, man, you got to fight. You can't just let people just run all over you. And so this thing with the Bucks, you're talking about the key to the game. The number one key to the game is Bud. you can't be putting Hill on Tatum. Hill can't guard Tatum. And you can't be just, okay, leaving Grayson Allen on the court for just a few minutes. Look, if you're going to get anything out of him, I understand that maybe he might start off cold or whatever, but you got to at least have the threat of him out there to spread the floor. You got to have the threat of the three-pointer to even – otherwise, they're just going to keep beating Giannis up like they have been. And I just want to say this one last thing. There was a song by LL Cool J that said, Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah, great song.
Look, yeah, so when they're taking Giannis, I saw once where Marcus Smart is on the floor with Giannis, and it's like a wrestling match. And then the other time, Grant Williams, is grabbing him out of the air like a wrestling match. Then you got Al Horford doing interviews saying, oh, you pissed me off, and then he elbows Giannis in the face.
Yep. Look,
man, I called this morning and I told Bart Winkler, no more Mr. Nice Champion. No more Mr. Nice Champion. Boston, you might beat me, but you better get your lunch bucket. If I'm the Bucks, if I'm in that locker room, if I'm Giannis, if I'm those guys, look, I don't care about how bad the Boston fans are. I don't care about what this other thing, what we're going to do in here. We're going to make Boston earn whatever they get. Every play, every basket, every time, we're gonna go in here to fight. That's what they got to do.
Well, and you're right. Thanks for the call. This has been a very physical series. And like they kind of punched Boston in game one, there was blows being traded kind of there in the last game. And after that Giannis moment with Horford, it kind of felt like Boston kind of brought it a little bit more than Milwaukee did at that point going forward. Now, having said all of that, and we talked about it yesterday, you know, is Al Horford going to be that hot from outside again? Because if we know Budenholzer, he's not going to care. Okay, fine. You got hot, great. Let's see if you can do it again. Right. So And then the question is, if Al Horford does get hot again from outside when he's wide open taking shots and we're not contesting him, if he gets hot again, will then there be an adjustment in the game to go try to slow down Al Horford, or will he see if Al Horford can do it for four quarters again and see what happens? I mean, maybe Budenholzer is willing to go die on that hill. Maybe Budenholzer said, hey, look, if Al Horford beats us, so be it. I'm fine with it. And if that's the only he's willing to die on, then that's fine. I mean, numbers say over the course of the year, Horford's not going to shoot like that every game. That's what numbers say. That does not mean somebody can't get hot in a series. That does not mean somebody cannot get hot for two or three games and then come back to reality again. I remember at the beginning of the year, everybody was loving Pat Connaughton. Oh, Pat Connaughton, he's so great. They didn't overpay him. Oh, Pat Connaughton. And I said, man, we're a month into the season. Talk to me if he's doing this in February and March. And guess what happened? He crashed back down to earth. So you can get hot for a stretch of time. Ain't no question about that. So maybe Horford can get hot for two or three games and bump the Bucks out of the postseason. And Bud just raises his hands up and goes, okay, so be it. We were okay with that notion if it were to happen. He got unconscious. We lost. We'll go home. We're fine. And if he's comfortable with that, then that's on him. Me, personally, as a long-suffering Bucks fan, prior to a championship last year, can't stand Al Horford because he kills this team. And it's going to drive me nuts if that's the hill he plans on dying on. It drives me nuts as a Bucks fan. Regardless if it's the right plan or not, it's just going to drive me absolutely crazy. Gary Ellerson is now here. As well. Okay, Dennis in Tulsa, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how you doing, Sparky?
Good.
Hey, my key is stop by reporters, man. Reporters play better in the starting lineup. When we won the first game in Boston with our big lineup, we gave them problems, you know. I really had Grayson come off the bench, you know, and go against, like, Pritchard or somebody on their second unit, you know, whatever the case may be. But you got to go big. That's our advantage against this team. And stop having Brook Lopez trying to get out when Al Horford, he's too slow. You got to either have Bobby in there or you even put Surgeon as somebody who get out to him on the corner because he's getting wide open shots, man. I mean, a five-year-old can hit those shots. They're wide open.
I was going to ask you about Ibaka. That was going to be my follow-up to that. And Ibaka, when he's played, to me, has looked old and slow to a certain degree when he's been out there. But I agree with you that if you don't have somebody that can go get Horford, then let Ibaka go get Horford. If he uses six fouls and can be physical with them and cause problems for Horford and give him something else to deal with, fine. And Ibaka can pull him out a little bit and maybe knock down a corner three occasionally too. I don't mind that at all, providing Ibaka is healthy. I haven't seen if he's healthy or not because he was sick last game. Thanks for the call, Dennis. Maybe that's the change. Now, I'll say this now because I don't want to be told, oh, you didn't say that yesterday or you didn't say that to yesterday before the game. I do not. Let me repeat this loud and clear. I do not want Ibaka replacing Bobby Portis's minutes. Like, I don't want Portis now not playing the rest of the series and Ibaka is taking his 15 minutes. That I do not want officially. So if that's an adjustment Bud's going to make, I'm against it before this even starts. And if I'm wrong and it works, fine. Then I'll say I was wrong tomorrow on the show and say I was wrong. Ibaka played great and they didn't need Bobby Portis. But as we sit here today, Gary Ellerson, right now, prior to game five tonight in Boston, I do not want Bobby Portis' minutes getting taken by Serge Ibaka necessarily at this point.
No, I would totally agree with you. And maybe they do go back to starting Bobby Portis. You're just not getting enough from Grayson Allen. You're just not getting enough from Connaughton. I mean, there's just nothing really there. And you're right. Normally, guys can play like over their heads and then eventually come back down to where they are and who they are. And I think that's what we're seeing out of Connaughton and Grayson Allen. And you know, every once in a while, they can give you something. Ibaka, I'm with you on that, but not at the expense of Bobby Portis. To me, you know what really surprised me, Steve, is Stephanie Sutton.
Channel 12 in Milwaukee.
Channel 12 in Milwaukee on her Twitter. And I didn't notice this. So you probably can go back and look at it. She had a video of Giannis at the free throw line. And he is, like, just bent over like crazy. And, like, he is super tired. I mean, just like he's got nothing.
He was exhausted, yeah.
Exhausted, nothing left. And very rarely do you see that from Giannis that way. And so in that game, with the way they were playing it and with the what his role was in that game. You know, we talk about the isolation and him bringing the ball. He's got to do a lot and guard everybody and be the guy offensively. I'd never seen a photo shot in my mind that I can remember where he is like totally bent over for like a mere 30 seconds, just like done. And then, you know, because it was during a timeout, but he's at the free, and then he regains his composure and get back. If you're not going to have Middleton, then it's imperative that Drew Holiday has to play better in order for them to win. He has to do more than what he's done. Now I'm looking for, now I'm not looking for Connaughton, and now I'm not looking for Grayson Allen. They do it fine. But if it's a big three, my other guy is, who would I just say?
You've only got Holiday.
Holiday.
Is that who, yeah.
That's my other guy.
You don't have Holiday, a big three
that's
anymore.
It. You don't. So Holiday now is the guy who has to take on some of that weight that Giannis is playing with right now and take it off his shoulders if it's going to go this way.
What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Bucks fans, Van Horn direct toll-free talk line 855-830-8648. Gary and I on the same page, both going Drew Holiday. What
you
about
went Drew
you?
Holiday too?
I did. Van Horn direct toll-free talk line 855-830-8648. Experience
really?
Online car buying on your terms with Van Horn direct. Tweet us at Big Show Network.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Will they win tonight? That's the question. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after win, so act fast. The Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Went last night. Got 5 bacon double stacks.
5
bacon double stacks. I need all of them. Slow down.
Okay. Jesus.
I had 2 of them, and then I got the boy who got a doubleheader in baseball. I got him 3.
Okay.
And then I got a Frosty for him and a Frosty for Kay at home. And don't forget, they got that deal going on at Wendy's. If you bring your kid in his baseball uniform or whatever else, in his jersey, you can get a free Frosty for your kid. Yeah. So, yeah. So, it works out. So,
well, I mean, I think everybody knows that.
Couple fries.
Yeah, that Kay is expecting your wife in that. And sometimes they say the husband eat for the wife as well. So I thought maybe with the 5 bacon double stacks, you were increasing
your...
We go back
a couple of years ago in the conference room. I ate 6 double stacks in one sitting in the conference room one day.
Oh, my God.
Back there. Normally, I get 2 or 3 because they're smaller. Yeah, they're not as big as like the Dave Single or whatever.
Yeah,
they're smaller, but they're so good. Yeah. And the 15-year-old, he had never had one before, and he had one on the road over the weekend when we were going somewhere, and he tried. He's like, oh, these are great. I'm getting these from now on. So then he got 3 of them yesterday and some fries and a Frosty. All healthy stuff for a baseball player to eat.
Well, no, they are. He burns it off.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And he played well yesterday, so he deserved it. Okay. What are your keys to a Bucks win coming up tonight between the Bucks and Celtics? Van Horn direct toll-free talk line 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Tweet us at Big Show Network. David in Appleton, you're next here on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Sparky. What's up, David?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. Good talking to you.
Good talking with you as well.
Hey, before I get to my key, I just want to circle back, and I'm so grateful we have Giannis on our team and what he means to our team and how hard he plays, and there's never a question on effort. But I do feel that there are times when you got the max contract that there should be one douche criticism. And I feel the other night that his poor free throw shooting and poor selection of shots from the outside might have been the difference. So my key is he does not take a jump shot outside of 15 feet, and he's got to be over 70% from the free throw line. Because every time he took a long shot, it ended with a long rebound and a advantage to Boston, where they ultimately scored. And I'll take my chances. I know he's going to have a few more turnovers going in the paint and stuff, but with his ability to get to the line, score, and get those guys in foul trouble, even the commenter said it, why he feels the need to take that shot. And it just seems at the most inopportune times. I mean, if we're up by 15 and things are rolling and he's hot and it's in rhythm, that's one thing. But I think that really hurt us last game.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I I have mixed feelings on this. So I agree. He's been horrible from three. 100%. Correct. I don't disagree. But I don't necessarily think I agree that I don't want him to take two or three and see. Like, I still think I want him to take a couple. And if you're on Twitter during the course of a game and you see when he misses a three and just see Bucks Twitter just go explode, like, why are you taking that shot for? Blah, 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 blah. People getting all mad and bent out of shape. Mind you, some of these are the same people that bash Jason Kidd for telling Giannis not to shoot threes. And, oh, you started his development by not letting him take threes. You should have let him take threes instead of working on his post game and working on getting to the rim. Again, you know, what is his bread and butter? Everything that Kidd made him work on, not the damn three-point shot. Either way. So from that perspective, I get why people don't want him shooting it. I get it. I don't want him shooting 5 to 7 threes. But I don't want him taking a couple. Because what I've noticed, and maybe you disagree, when he does get one, it picks him up. He gets two. Now he really starts feeling good about himself. And that confidence really starts rolling. And when it starts rolling, he becomes even better, Gary.
I would agree with you, and not to, I think what people got to realize and what we're not, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, is that this offense is what this offense is. This defense is what this defense is under Coach Bud. You can like it or not. But here's what you've gotten with that. You've gotten a championship with that. And it's going to be tough for Bud to change whatever he does when he's already won a championship. I know a lot of people are calling in and they should do this, do that, and you guys are talking about some philosophical changes. I don't know if you're going to see very many because you won an NBA championship doing it this way. And once you have a coach who's won it that way, you're not going to get much change. Defense, you're going to see the same defense. Offense, I think their mantra was let it fly at some point, Steve. That still is going to happen.
Yep.
You won a championship this way. I don't know how a coach comes back the following year and say, we got to make all these changes. I think he believes in his system. It feels like the players believe in the system. Going back to the beginning of the show, Steve and I think certain players have to play better. Holiday, Steve and I both said, he's got to give you more than what he's giving you. And you hope that Connaughton and Grayson Allen can have a career night. I love what Wesley Matthews is doing defensively. I mean, he's playing some really good defense. You like a little bit more of him offensively, but once again, that is what it is. Lopez, I think, can give you more than what he's giving you. We're not offensively, you're not getting what – something's weird with Lopez. His three-point shooting feels like those numbers are down right now. I don't know
since he came back from the back.
Yeah. Well, no, in this series.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not shooting it great.
He's
no.
not shooting
But he's
a
not
lot.
Shooting a lot of them either. He's not getting
no
rhythm.
He's getting no attempts, really.
He's only
shooting a couple. Did something change there offensively? I mean, I don't know. But I guess my whole point when callers call in and say they this, and that, I don't want to end it. But it's tough for a guy to change who he is after he's won an NBA championship.
I asked for it last game. I got it like twice. I want them to focus on Brooke in the post. Just let him go bang on Al Horford and get Horford out of that dang game. Like, that's all I want. It's not that hard because Horford can't guard him. He cannot. And whoever else is on him can't guard him either. They don't have anybody to guard that dude in the post. And if they double him, somebody's going to be open. To me, it just makes completely good sense to me why this would work. And I don't, they do it like, I think they did it twice maybe last game, once maybe the game before, and then they just go away from it. And then they don't touch it
again. Why do you think they go away from it, Steve?
I don't know. No clue.
Because that's not what they do.
Well, maybe. But in
so these are changes that you're talking about, what I was just saying.
That you're saying they're not going to change who they are.
They're not. These are the changes that you're talking about because they didn't really do it last year. I mean, we were talking about the same thing last year, though, Steve. I faintly remember in my brain that we've got a matchup with Lopez down low.
Sure did.
Why aren't we exposing that? I remember this conversation last year.
Because they didn't have bigs last year.
Remember that?
Yes. Absolutely. Yep. Let's go to, where am I going? Where did you want me to go? Did you want me to go in one way or the other? No? Okay. Gary in Appleton, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Gary?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I like your take on Brooke Lopez on Al Horford. He is, I like that take. I do. My keys to the Bucks winning, well, first is like the previous caller, Bobby Portis. He needs more than 15 minutes. He averaged 15 points a game in the regular season.
I don't know why that happened.
Yeah, plus he's a high-energy guy. I just don't get it. And then my other thing is I've noticed in the last couple of games when they get that double-digit lead, it's like that defensive intensity kind of wanes a little bit. So they need to keep that defensive intensity for the whole game. You know, it's probably easier said than done, but
for sure.
When you're up, you can't take your foot off the gas. You got to step on their throats and kick them when they're down.
And like we've talked about before, being defending champions, playing in the Olympics for a couple of these guys and so forth, they're probably way more tired at this point than Boston is because they've had more games played here in the last calendar year than they have. Thanks for the call. And Bud, you know, he did his best trying to rest these guys and so forth. But I'm telling you, I really think they're just tired. They're spent. I mean, I think Drew Holiday is completely spent. You watch him. And real quick, we got to get to Tim Allen. He's waiting. MKE Social tweets in about what you said about Giannis with his hands on his knees and the whole deal. Mm-hmm. He said, Gary, this is why Giannis has his hands on his knees and is bent over. This is what athletes should be doing when tired. Then he tweets a picture of this study. The study, called Michelson from 2019, compared two postures, hands on knees versus hands on head, to see how they impacted athletes' recovery from high-intensity interval training. The study found that the hands on knees posture resulted in superior heart rate recovery and greater tidal volume, the amount of air inhaled into the lungs with each breath, compared to the hands on head posture. So maybe they're taught that. That's what he said.
Well, no, but because he's tired.
Correct.
And you're trying to get more energy. You're trying to get more oxygen in your body.
Yep.
A long time ago when we played, the coaches always had you with the hand over your head all the time. But you put your hands behind your head. And then all of a sudden, new study comes out now is
hands on knees.
And
right.
My whole point was hands on knees was that he's tired. It's very rarely that you see Giannis in that posture, in that position, for 30-some seconds in the game.
He's Gary Ellerson, C. Sparky, Five for Tim Allen, G. Wagner Plumbing Baseball post-game show coming up next. But first, Gary, tell us about our friends at the Jewelry Center.
Guys, three locations locally, 76 in Layton Plaza, in Brookfield for Blue Mountain Road and Tri-City National Bank Building. Third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. If you're listening to us statewide and you want to get a hold of my good friends at the Jewelry Center, well, you can at shoptjc.com. That's right, shoptjc.com is their website, and you can buy just about anything you want to buy at all three of their locations. Guys, you're looking for the best deal on a piece of jewelry. It's going to be at the Jewelry Center. And guys, make sure you call the owner, mention my name, Leroy's name, Sparky Pfeiffer's name, and we'll make sure you get a sizable discount on anything that you want to get in that store. Guys, call them up today. Go to their website, shoptjc.com, and visit my good friends at the Jewelry Center.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll be right back. Tim Allen told me to talk, so I'm going to talk and listen to orders of Tim Allen, who is wanting to get on the air and talk right away. You know what drives me nuts? Guys that talk as soon as bumper music starts. Why have bumper music? Just don't have bumper music. Just talk right out of the commercial. Don't play any music. If you're going to talk over the music straight out of a break, then why have music? Why have bumper music? What's the point?
Research and radio shows that 5 to 6 seconds of bumper music is appropriate.
Okay. So how many seconds do you think that was?
It was probably half the song.
No, we don't even have a full song on the bumper. Bumper music is normally like, 45 to 60 seconds, somewhere in that area. Tim Allen, Gene Widener Plumbing Baseball post-game show from 1250 AM, the Fan of Milwaukee, our Milwaukee affiliate. He's on after Brewers games for the last 17 years. Catch him again today. Follow him on Twitter at Tim Allen. Rance joins us now. Last night, a much-needed good start, I think, for Freddie Peralta. Was able to avoid a horrendous first inning like he has done in the past. Look, him and Woodruff have been struggling a little bit here. We'll get to Woodruff in a little bit. But that was a good start for Freddie Peralta, not against a great Reds team, but the Brewers had lost the previous game against the Reds.
Yeah, it didn't matter. I mean, they snap a three-game losing streak. They get rid of the hangover from Atlanta, and they did not look good in Atlanta. They just didn't. Seven errors in a series is a big, big number. Yeah. And so then you travel up to Cincinnati, and, you know, Cincinnati's going to win their fair share of games, guys. They're probably going to win around 50 games. And the more you play them, the more you set yourself up for them getting you once or twice. It's going to happen. And they shed all of that where they went to get their 20th victory with a 5-4 win last night. And you're right, Freddie did need – I think it's a feel-good performance from Peralta. He goes from a 5.19 ERA to a 4.4. That looks a little better aesthetically. And the next one would be Woody. But offensively, they just haven't gotten the 2-3 run home runs. They hit a solo shot down in Atlanta. You know, they got blown out with a solo shot on Monday. They come back. Louis hits a solo shot last night. So, sooner or later, they're going to start hitting the baseball again. And when they do, hopefully that lines up with the pitching. But on the other hand, as you said, Woody, is there trouble in River City? I mean, that's a 5.9 ERA. That's a huge number. Now, you feel pretty confident that he's going to right the ship to a degree. How much? Not surprising, guys. I've talked to you guys on this show. Should we expect that rotation, that five-man rotation, to do the same thing they did last year? No, guys, it was just amazing what they did last year. And just in terms of total ERAs, when your worst of your five-man rotation has a 3.2, I mean, that is just rarefied air right there. So there was going to be some regression a little bit, and maybe Woody's that guy this year, but how about Lauer picking it up? Hauser being solid? Burns is Burns. Freddie getting the ship right, and you go from there. So if one regresses and the other stay the same, we're all good.
I know, Timmy, you've been talking a lot about offense and the bats. Now, have the Brewers, I guess, calmed you down a little bit about the hitting?
Yeah, I think there's a window of
even
time.
Though it's not Yelich doing it all.
But Yelich is involved in a lot of this stuff, though, and that's the key here, is that he's drawing his walks. He's coming up with some base hits here and there. He's hitting the ball hard. I mean, he had a laser beam the other night that was just 114 mile an hour off the bat. You can't hit a ball hard any harder than that. And it just goes right to the right fielder. So, I think you should. We all should feel a little bit better about the offense. I knew they would do better than they started out with the first 10 or 12 games, for sure. They were going to be better than that. And then they get on a roll in that homestand at home, hitting 20 home runs in six games. I mean, that's just an unheard of number. So it's in them, and now they have to be a little more consistent. And the good thing about the run production here in Cincinnati, yeah, you're one game apiece. They've put up five runs in each of those games. You're doing it without, as I said, the aid of that long ball. You're moving the line. You get guys like Jace Peterson, Victor Caratini, Willie Adames getting a single. Those are the guys that keep the line moving to set the stage for once you get the power back going. And you see what happens, 20 homers in that homestand.
Talking with Tim Allen here on the Wendy's Big Show. Tim, I brought this up the other day. I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, but I'm starting to get into the camp, and maybe I'm by myself in this camp, and I'm starting it by myself, but I think I'm starting to buy into the whole moving Urias to second base and being able to trade for another bat at the deadline, maybe to play third base and find another power bat that way. Because I think you're trying to find a bat for the outfield. I just don't know who is out there. I mean, Cedric Mullins would be a guy that's out there under team control for a couple of years in Baltimore, but he's like their best player. So, I mean, I don't know if they'd be willing to trade him necessarily. And if they are, you're going to have to give up a ton of prospects. Where maybe finding a veteran third baseman might be an easier way to go about things. And I like Colton Wong, don't get me wrong, but Urias is more of the future of this club than Colton Wong is.
Yeah, he is. And we spent a good chunk of the show last night talking about Luis Urias. And could he be the next star to superstar player? The next, how about this? Could he be the next fan favorite? And we brought up examples of, you know, what were the fan favorites? What were my favorites in my, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 years of age kind of range? And that was Yount and Molitor and Cooper and all these guys. Okay, then we went through the phase here more recently of like the 25 to 30-year-old fans that went through the Prince Fielder. What a stud. You know, Ryan Braun and J.J. Hardy and Corey Hart and these guys that come through. Okay, is Luis Urias the next guy in line for that?
Well, I mean, I just, when you brought that up, I Googled it right away to see, and I just brought up Ricky Weeks' numbers just to kind of compare. We're talking second
baseman. That's what I compared
him
to last night. That's
dude,
funny.
He's going to be way better than Ricky Weeks.
He is. For sure.
I mean, Ricky Weeks' numbers, 269, 29 home runs, 269, 20 home runs, 230, 21 home runs. Those were his peak years, those three years. He already did that last year. I mean, I think he's going to be better than that dude for sure. But the other part about this is you have Bryce Terang that's playing fairly well right now down at AAA. That is a former first-round pick that was supposedly going to be a shortstop. Maybe it's him to second base and maybe Terang to third base. The problem is Terang really hasn't shown the power to justify playing third at this point.
No, not yet. And a lot of folks are saying, well, go out and get a center fielder because Tyrone Taylor and Lorenzo Cain are like, yeah, they're okay. The timeshare between those two guys, you're seeing Lorenzo heat up just a little bit here lately. Maybe rest his legs. He's a guy that is a leader. He's a quiet leader, but a leader. He plays the game the right way. And if you're going to save legs in terms of Lorenzo Cain, boy, what a great guy to have down the stretch into the playoffs and potentially a World Series. You're going to need him.
But the other thing is, Stearns doesn't agree with me on this, is you got Mitchell coming. I mean, I don't know if Mitchell's here next year or not. Yep. Frelick's another one. I don't know if they're here next year per se, but they're getting closer here. They're both hitting well to start the season. So, I do you go get, like I said, a Mullins from Baltimore and essentially block them for a couple of years at this point and give up a bunch of pitching probably in order to get that done? But I think you and I both agree, and I think Gary agrees, they're going to need another bat at the deadline probably.
Well, and who is he? Ryan Reynolds is a guy that, I don't know, man. You got the prospect capital. Five of the top 10 prospects in this organization right now are defined as center fielders. Some project out that they will move to a corner at some point in their careers. But you've got the capital down there to go out and get what you need. And you're right, if need be, if you got to go Urias to second base and it's easier or a cheaper version, still the same productivity, to get a third baseman bat down the stretch or at the deadline, then you can go ahead and do that. Guys, I wanted to bring this up, and we'll talk about it later on this afternoon after the game, but I don't know if you guys caught the attendance numbers, and I want to talk about my quarterback. He's my quarterback. This is my sport. This is baseball is my thing, so I feel the need to defend it. And I heard on a national show a quote from a host that said, baseball is on life support. And quite frankly, it pissed me off. It did.
Why would he say that, though?
That's the thing, Gary. And he didn't back it up with any sort of data or whatever. He just said, baseball, you know, he's comparing it to the NFL. And that's a tough comparison, guys. That's a one game. But a new study just came out. It's in USA Today. It's on attendance this year. And they were waiting to release this information until all 30 teams had a minimum of 12 home dates. All right. So you have the barometer there, 12 home games. Baseball since 2019 is only down. Now consider what they've been through, a 60-game pandemic year in 20, no fan attendance hardly at all to start the season last year, and then it, you know, rumbled through to max capacity. And then you've got the 12 home dates this year for every team. Across the board, baseball attendance is only down 1.3%.
And that includes crappy stadiums that have no attendance at all right now, like Pittsburgh.
And crappy teams as well.
Right. Yeah.
And the teams that are selling off, like Cincinnati, like Oakland, like the you know, these other teams that are just... And I feel for those fan bases. Now, how does this equate? Let's bring it home to Milwaukee. Admittedly, of the 30 teams, 17 are either flat or up in attendance through the first 12 games. Okay?
Right.
The others are down. And that includes Milwaukee here, guys. That includes a 22% decrease in fan attendance.
Ooh,
at home here.
That's a big number.
That's a big break.
It is, but they're averaging 27,000 this year a night. So it's just more, which is in really the upper, you know, say 30% of teams' attendance. That's 27,000 a night. Still a good number, but down from 22. Why? Why is this? Well, they went on to say in the article that Milwaukee, although down 22%, still averages 27,000 and continues to be an attendance small wonder.
Yes, and they haven't done their bobbleheads yet. That's the other part of this. And the other part, too, is to be honest, I know they play in a dome, but sometimes people just don't want to drive out in the rain and thunderstorms and everything else to go to a game or drive home in it. So he is the franchise, Tim Allen. Catch him this afternoon, 11:30 start, right? Is that right? 11:30 start?
11:35 first pitch.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and go Brewers, go Bucks tonight, too.
Absolutely. Timmy, thank you so much, buddy.
All right, see you, boys.
There is Tim Allen back after this here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh live from the Lakeland University studios. Lakeland University is now offering co-op credit for work experience. Learn your way at lakeland.edu. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson. Did you see that the Brewers yesterday, talking about they're bringing back and going to have a 1982 Brewers reunion, bringing back all the guys to American Family Field and the whole deal coming up. I was listening to the morning show in Milwaukee. And Bonamago Jr., who was producing for us yesterday, was filling in on their show this morning. And he was with the Brewers organization.
Can we let the people in on Bonamago Jr.? Why
Tim Shea?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we call him Bonamago Jr. is because he worked here back when we started the station in Milwaukee. I don't know. Like, how long has it been?
20.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So he was here in the very beginning when we started. And back then, there was a special teams coordinator for the Packers with the last name Bonamago. And I said that he looked just like Bonamago, the special teams coordinator. So we started calling him Bonamago Jr. And I just never let it go. So he's in my phone as Bonamago Jr., not as Tim Shea. It's always been Bonamago Jr. So anyways, and then we brought him back now here recently, and he's part of the staff again. But he was with the Brewers, and I got to finish the story on the other side because we're already time for a break now. Great.
Sorry.
All right, back after this. Wendy's Big Show. Don't go anywhere. More Bucks Celtics talk as well.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.